by middle schoolers. We love you. We think you're great. Do you remember middle school? It was an awesome time. I was at my very best middle school. We are continuing in our series in Ephesians. Ephesians is a letter written to not a church, but a group of churches, a region really. And it was a circular letter that went from church to church and was read. And it's important as we read Ephesians to remember that the Ephesians is written to the church. It's not just written to me, Bo Brady. It's not just written to you. It's written to a church. And how Paul is instructing the church to live inside of their decision to follow Jesus is important because it ripples out every individual decision, not just the decision to follow God, but the decisions that we make in the course of following him, ripple out into a community and create something. Create something good, create something shady, create something deceptive, create something wonderful, create something healing. It can be anything based on the decisions that we make in the course of following Jesus. All the decisions that I make as I follow him matter when I come here. It matters what I bring into this space. And so as we look at Ephesians, this letter is rich. There's gold in almost every line. It is so beautiful. And we have a resource for you on this that we've worked hard on in a reading plan. They're going to put a QR code up for that. One of those is this book called Practice Resurrection by Eugene Peterson. I really highly recommend it. If you're someone who likes to dig further, we have it at the Info Center for $10. Promise you, we're not making a dime on this book. We just like to see people be able to go deeper in study if you'd like to, and this is a really good resource. So I was studying for this series, the whole thing, and the message that I'm speaking on today wasn't a part of it. And when I ran into this one verse in my office one Tuesday morning, it struck me as being so significant and truly so life-changing that we've decided to build a week around it, a whole message around it. And I think it's so, so important. And so I want to read this verse, and then we're going to kind of dive into the person of the Holy Spirit. It starts like this. It's Ephesians 1, 13. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. I mean, this is what I mean about Ephesians, man. He works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. That's just a big statement. Who wouldn't choose that God? I mean, that's a big deal. He works everything out in conformity to his own purpose. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So four times in three sentences, we see in Christ, in him. Pastor Steve said it last week. There are all of these times in Ephesians that Paul goes back to, you are in Christ. You are in him. When God looks at you, he sees the reflection of his own dear son because you are hidden in the salvation that was bought for you by Jesus. You belong. You're purchased by God's blood. You are part of the family. We are adopted through his work on the cross. We are true sons and daughters of his Father. So those two words, in Christ, are huge for us. In Christ, we become God's possession. So that's two of the three members of the Trinity. In Christ, we become a son or daughter of the Father. We see the Father and we see the Son, Jesus. But then what about the third person of the Trinity? What about the Holy Spirit? We see that here too, and it's really exciting. It says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much in our churches. And I think perhaps it's because it can feel a little woo-woo, if it's a little spooky, a little weird, we don't know what to do with it. I think it might also be because some people in communities of faith have misused or misunderstood the work of the Holy Spirit, and those errors have caused damage. I think that's part of it. I know many people who say, I don't want anything to do with that because it's been so misused. But you know what? So is money. Money is so misused, but I don't know anyone who says, I don't want anything to do with it. I'll just use it correctly, right? If it's been misused, what's the antidote for that? Use it well. Use it as it's intended. Anything good. Food has been misused, but I still want it. Marriage has been misused. Anything good has the possibility for misuse. But we have to guard that we don't eliminate something that God has for us because we're afraid that we don't know how to use it or what to do with it. We need to learn how to use it and what to do with it. Loosely quoting Jack Hayford, misuse is not a reason for disuse. So 2 Peter 1:3 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The power of Jesus has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We already have everything we need. What is it? Where is it? Much of it, I believe, is contained within the person of the Holy Spirit. And this text from Ephesians can help us understand more about why. From before Jesus was getting ready to leave his disciples, he sits them down and he tells them this crazy thing. You know, Jesus comes packaged up with all the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus comes packaged up with power and life and all these things. And he brings it to our earth. And he brings it to especially 12 people. And he shares it with them. And he talks with them. And he walks with them. And he teaches them. And then he says to them, I'm going to go. I'm getting ready to leave you. And that must have been a bitter disappointment. But then he says, don't worry. There's going to be a better something coming. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And why is the Holy Spirit a better gift? Because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus was only where Jesus was. His flesh confined him to being one place at one time, to spending his time with 12 people. But the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. And so then Jesus, so the Holy Spirit comes packaged up with this same beauty and love and power. The same beauty and love and power of God to come and bring it to our broken, brutalized world and our broken, brutalized hearts. Jesus promises them it's coming. And then he says, wait for it. And then it came in Acts 2 in the upper room. And one outcome of that event in Acts 2 is that people spoke in other languages. And I, for some reason, that is something we focus really heavily on in our attempts to say, I don't think I want this. But there are so many reasons the Holy Spirit came, and there is so much packaged up in the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's so much to be found in living a truly Spirit-filled life. It's not just praying in other tongues. It's not just prophesying. It's not just the things that we say, oh, that feels uncomfortable to me. It is so many things. The Holy Spirit is a gift to be opened. In fact, I rarely care about the titles of messages, but the title of this message is Gift and Glimpse, because the Holy Spirit is both. The Holy Spirit, it says, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. This is legal language Paul is using with us. He says it's the seal. And in the Greek, this is a stamp for security or preservation. It's something stamped on us to keep our salvation secure and safe and active and productive and effective. And it's a deposit, which is like the down payment you make on a house. So the Holy Spirit is a down payment on what? On what's coming. On our full inheritance. The Holy Spirit is given to us in advance as security for eternal life, for what's coming. It is a gift to be used here and now, and it's a glimpse of all that is to come. It is the most beautiful thing. I have a friend who had a really good year in business and decided to give his kids a little portion of their inheritance up front. They're younger and he thought they could use it now. And he gave them each a small but still significant piece of what their inheritance will be. And it changed all of their lives. That one got to do a badly needed remodel on their house. One got to pay off their debts. It changed their immediate lives. And it also showed them, oh, there's something coming. There's an inheritance down the road. I'm going to get something more. This is just a little piece of what's coming, but it shows me that my dad is doing okay. You know, I wasn't raised ever with, my parents have given me an inheritance beyond value, but it's not monetary. I'm not going to inherit anything material. I've inherited very much spiritually and in every other way. But so I've had to live my life saying I've got a plan for retirement. I've got a plan for what's coming. I've got to save. I've got to do this stuff. And I have friends who know there's plenty coming. And so they spend their money differently. And I want to try to do that with my life. I know there's so much hope and glory and goodness coming. I can afford to spend a lot now. I can afford to lay all my love on the line here and now. I can afford to invest in every possible human person because I've got a lot coming. Man, I've also got the Holy Spirit right now living in my life. It's not just about in eternity, things will be okay. In eternity, we'll get there. In eternity, the life will be better. It's about what is here for us now. We don't just pack up our decision to believe in Jesus and our Bible and walk away and leave the Holy Spirit behind. We have to engage with this gift because it will be life-changing for us. We want to be a church of hope and healing and freedom and flourishing. And flourishing starts with a daily relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Some things that the Holy Spirit does for us. This is and there are so many. It was hard to pick. I could list so many things that the Bible promises us are part of the little gift part of the Holy Spirit. The first one is truth. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. In John 16, Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. In fact, he actually calls it the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that is made of truth. And it is hard to know truth in this age in which we live. The people and institutions and politicians and media outlets we use to rely on for accurate reporting are really difficult to count on right now. Anybody just think I'm going to buy everything everybody tells me on TV, hook, line, and sinker? Nope. Everyone is unreliable right now. And that's just the information about the world that surrounds us. It doesn't even speak to all that's happening inside of us. Who tells you the truth about you? Who tells you who you are? What's going on in you? I actually am a really nervous flyer. It's a pleasure to fly next to me on an airplane. But what I do, and maybe you've been known to do the same thing, is whenever we hit any little bit of turbulence, who do I look to? Flight attendant. Because if she's worried, I'm worried. If she's worried, I'm going down. I'm like, this is bad. I'm going to start. I will absolutely speak in tongues with reckless abandon at that moment. But she never looks worried because she's been trained to fake it. She's been trained. Yeah, I can't look worried. I am the narrator for people's peace in this airplane. And I have been a really bad flight attendant in my own life a lot of times, where any little turbulence hits and the narrator inside my head says, you're going down. This is going to kill you. You're not going to survive this. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You are not a great narrator for your own life, but oftentimes you're all you've got. And if your feelings about yourself or your significance or your safety or your purpose or your security or your healing, if all of those feelings are built on what your own mind is telling you, life is going to be really, really hard because the heart is deceitfully wicked. And it is hard to tell ourselves the truth without the power and illumination of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us who we really are and tell us who we really are to our Father. Tell us who we really are to our world. Tell us who we really are to ourselves. You know who Paul says we are? Get ready for it. I don't know if you're ready to wear the name Saint. But that's who he says we are. In the very next verse, we're not covering it today, but the very next verse, he says, you are saints. Do you look in the mirror and think, there I am, Saint Bo? That's what he tells us. He says, this is your condition, and you're going to need the Holy Spirit to believe that. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Eugene Peterson said in his book, Practice Resurrection, how do we acquire a God-oriented identity? Looking in the mirror and naming what we see as saint is one way. We follow that up by redefining the people around us as saints. It is a start. It is where Paul starts. He names us saints, not because we are so wonderful, listen, but because he sees us truly as ever and always in the company of the Holy Trinity. Holy men, holy women, holy children, holy, holy, holy. In our identity-confused society, too many of us have settled for a pasted-together identity composed of societal security, of a social security number, medical records, academic degrees, job history, and whatever fragments of genealogy we can salvage from cemeteries. Christians can do better. We are baptized, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By virtue of that name, not our family name, we are saints. You are. And if you have a hard time understanding it or believing it, it's time to get acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit who will continually remind you who you really are. I was at the Foursquare National Pastors Connection this week, and the Pastors Connection is full of thousands of better pastors than me. Thousands of them. I can look around and clearly see I'm not that. I'm not as good a speaker. I'm not as good a compassion person. I'm not as good at showing mercy. I'm not as good at missions. I'm not as good at anything. And I have to keep going back in that atmosphere to the Holy Spirit to say, who am I in you? Not who am I compared to all these other people, but who am I in you? The Holy Spirit will guide you in truth. You can count on it. The Holy Spirit is also here to give us direction. In Acts 16, the Holy Spirit prevented Paul and his friends from speaking the word in the province of Asia. Isn't that a funny idea? Paul just is there to preach. That's his, yeah, I'm a preacher, man. That's what I do. I preach and I write the Bible. And at some point he goes to preach and I don't know how it looked, but the Holy Spirit was like, shh, nope, not here, not now. Don't preach right now. He is listening to the Holy Spirit. Other times we see Paul wanting to go somewhere. He's like, I sailed out for here, the Holy Spirit blocked my way. I sailed out for here, the Holy Spirit blocked my way. That's not a physical block. That's Paul listening to the voice of the one that he loves and the one that he knows loves him and letting the Holy Spirit guide his path. What might have been different in your life if some doors had remained closed? Because I am someone who will put her shoulder to the door. I will be like, that door seems closed. I should push harder. I should try more. I should keep going. The Holy Spirit is like, could you just stop? Take it easy. Let me do it. Let my yoke be easy for a minute. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. That word understand in the Greek means not just to know something, but to perceive it. It literally means I see what you mean. It's this perception of I see what God is doing and I understand it. The Holy Spirit does that for us. He illuminates so we understand. We don't just know something, but we perceive it. He helps us know the will of God for our lives. But we often think of the will of God like a title on a business card, or once I get an education, that'll be the will of God, or once I do, that'll be the will of God, or once I figure out my marriage, that'll be the will of God. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us in the daily pursuit of the will of God. Every morning when you open your eyes, you've got a choice. Am I gonna follow the will of the Holy Spirit today? With the next 12 hours, what am I gonna do? What will my decisions look like? The daily pursuit of the will of God. In difficult relationship issues, there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end is the way of death. If I just go out doing it my own way, the ends of some things will be death. Sometimes I'll get it right. You know, broken clock is right twice a day. But a lot of the times I'm going to miss if I'm not engaged with the Holy Spirit. When my daughter was in college, she called me one day in real distress, saying, I don't have the money to pay my tuition. And she said, I don't know what to do. And she was struggling with faith. And she had like 2 days to get it. And I said to her, listen, babe, it is going to be okay. God is on it. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. He is going to provide for you. And I said this not because I'm a woman of faith, but because I knew I was going to send her the money. I knew it. I am so helpful to God like that. And so I'm like, girl, you trust the Lord. He's so good. And I hung up the phone and got ready to send her the money. And I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, do you want her to put her faith in you? Do you want her to trust you for the rest of her life? Or would you like her to be able to trust me? And I was like, shoot, okay. I'm going to let her trust you. That means I have to trust you too. So I'm going to trust you. And she called me 2 days later in tears. And she said, my work just discovered somehow that they had been underpaying me for like a year. And they gave me a check to make up the difference. And it covered my whole tuition. And she said, I don't have money for gas, but I can pay my tuition. And I was like, isn't God good? In the back of my head, I'm like, I'm going to send her gas money. And I did. I totally did. But in this, I was so thankful for the Holy Spirit's direction to say, stop right now. The way that seems right to you is not going to give her more trust in me. The way that seems right to you is not going to be actually helpful for her. So we listen to the Holy Spirit and he guides us and directs us and keeps us from some bad decisions. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is advocates for us in prayer. For in this hope we were saved. This is Romans 8. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he can already see? But if we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, listen, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So he intercedes. This word intercedes in the Greek means to come into line with, to come into line with the will of God. He brings our will into alignment with God's will. So right now in our country, we have half the church praying one specific way politically, and we have half the church praying one specific way politically. And they are not the same way. And here's the thing about God, he has opinions. That means half of the church is not right. I have been on opposite sides of legal issues before and been praying a very specific way and knowing that someone else who believes in the same God is praying the opposite way. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't. I remember, this is why I do believe that praying in a language that is not my own is so important, because it takes my agenda right out of the deal. I remember when I was engaged in a very fervent prayer situation, God saying to me, if you don't understand that sometimes you are praying outside of my will, then you don't know you and you don't know me. Sometimes you're going to get it wrong, but not when we pray in the Holy Spirit. We know that he is an advocate for us. We know that he is like having, praying in the Spirit is like having the very best lawyer on the case. He is there for us, and he is making intercession for us, and he is bringing our heart into alignment with his heart. Every Super Bowl, we have a bunch of people shooting up fervent prayers to the same God asking for opposite outcomes. Both can't be right. Does God care about the Super Bowl? That's next week. Come back. It's going to be such a good message. I have to study it real fast because I'm just not sure. The Holy Spirit is here to bring us comfort. That's the last thing. In John 16:7, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit a comforter or a consoler or a helper. This feels bigger to me than we often make it. Sometimes, like when my husband died, I got a lot of cards that talked about God will be your comfort. And I remember reading them and they felt so one-dimensional. But I knew that in my life, I was experiencing that comfort in a three-dimensional way. I was experiencing that comfort in like surround sound. But sometimes we think the comfort of God is like pat you on the shoulder. Oh, it's okay. It'll be okay. At least you have your memories, that kind of thing. We think the Holy Spirit comforts us like we comfort each other. But the Holy Spirit's comfort is actual cure. Comfort means a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constant or constraint, or ease, freedom from hardship, repose, relaxation, serenity, contentment, well-being. Listen to this, coziness. On sympathy cards, I think we make the comfort of God sound like a really weak consolation prize for someone's pain or sorrow. But the comfort of the Holy Spirit is not just companionship. It's a supernatural softening or easing of pain. It's like an aloe vera plant. When you break it open and put it on a burn, it changes the way the burn feels. This comfort is true and real and immediate, and it belongs to you whether or not you deserve it. You don't have to earn comfort from the Holy Spirit. He's here for you for that. The supernatural comfort of the Holy Spirit has been one of the most profound gifts in my whole life up until now. Honestly, I don't know how I would have survived without it. I don't. There were nights when I thought I can't keep going. And the Holy Spirit met me, and I can't explain it. It's like trying to describe a color you've never seen before. But I know the Holy Spirit met me with supernatural comfort, like a blanket that wrapped me up and said, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Just ask. We just ask. Paul said to some of the people he ran into, have you received the Holy Spirit since you were saved? This is just a matter of engaging with the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of saying, I want to partner with you. I want to welcome you into my life. In driving moments, in sleepless moments, in moments of prayer, in moments of performance, in moments where you feel like the world is crashing. I want to engage with you. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by forgetting he exists. We often will ask that question, what would you do if Jesus showed up at your door for dinner? Holy Spirit's there for dinner every single day. We are living our life out with the power and holiness and purpose and friendship of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, we live with too little. We live with too little power, too little insight, too little wisdom, too little peace, too little growth. All growth is initiated and animated by the work of the Holy Spirit in our world, but we've made it weird. It's not weird. We've let the misuse and abuse lead us away from an active, spirit-filled life. And we need to normalize being led and fed and filled with the Holy Spirit as those who want to know Jesus more. So we're gonna sing and respond to the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about truth and direction and comfort and advocacy and prayer. If you're in a situation right now where you don't know how to pray as you should, this is a time to listen. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm right here. I'm right here and I'm focused on you and I'm putting aside my agenda and I'm listening to you. Tell me how to pray. If you need comfort this morning, if things are a mess, if it's your marriage or your doctor visit you're afraid of or a kid you're worried about or a work thing, take a minute and say, Holy Spirit, I'm right here. Would you show me your comfort? If you need direction, you're looking for a way to go, you need to make a decision, take a minute and say, Holy Spirit, I'm here and I need your direction. If you know that you've got an unreliable narrator in your head, if you feel unworthy and insecure and frustrated, or if you are relying on your own power or your own goodness or your own abilities or your own success, any of those things will create an unreliable story about who you really are. Take the space of this song and say, Holy Spirit, be the voice inside telling me who I really am. I'm gonna just be super honest and tell you that on my way down the stairs this morning to come into this service, I was having this angsty thought about pastor things, just angsty thoughts. And I felt the Holy Spirit stop me and say, stop walking, stop where you are. And I stopped where I was and I said, shoot, show me myself, what's going on? And he said, this is a place where you're out of alignment with my will. Your thoughts are not my thoughts right now. We just have to always engage with the thoughts of the Holy Spirit toward us and about us and for us. And we're gonna just take this one song to do that. And then I'll come back and close this up.
Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown, this is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender.
I pray.
Church. We are a spirit-filled church. We ask, God, that you would roam the halls of our lives, roam in the rooms and throw open the doors and open the curtains and shine your light into the areas and show us your good love for us. We worship and praise you. If you are here this morning and you have never stepped into a relationship with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit or with the Father, would you just take this moment in your own, wherever you are right now, and just say, I am stepping into this. I am leaning in to the love of God for my life. I am inviting him to become the Lord of my life, the owner of the house, the keeper of the keys. Having such a lovely time down at the altar where our prayer team gathers and just touches base with people who need help, want prayer, want encouragement, want whatever. If you today feel like I want to check in with someone and say, I am going to invite the Holy Spirit to be the seal of my salvation. I am going to step in to a greater relationship with Jesus. If you want to pray for discernment or direction or pray for truth in your life, if you're struggling with thoughts that you know aren't in alignment with the will of God, pray for your marriage, pray for your, whatever. They are here to be with you. What is our line? Don't leave this room until you touch base with someone if you need to. We want to be here for you, and we want you to join a community face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and let's pray together and believe God is going to do something beautiful wherever, whatever it is that you face. And then also at 10:15 following this service is the welcome party. We would love to have you if you're new here. What is new here? I don't know. There's no rule. If you feel new, you are new. Come on up. Then you won't be new. I would like to end with a benediction if you'd like to receive it. Would you put your hands out in front of you? This is straight out of the book of Ephesians. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next weekend.